The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we're going to answer a slew of listener emails. So we'll have quite a variety of topics today. Jim, after he gets done with his coughing fit, will join us. Of course, he hasn't coughed all day until we started recording the radio show.
I think I'm allergic to the show.
Something is going on. I'm not sure what it is, but welcome everybody to this episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. Happy New Year. It is the new year, 2017. We technically had a show last week. Was the first show of the year, but
we didn't technically.
It's still pretty
fresh. We did have a show. Pete recorded it.
Which makes it technically, yes, but it wasn't live. We had a show. We weren't live in studio, but we're still not live today.
We're still not live.
Well, we're alive. Yes. We're just not broadcasting this live. It's bring. Pre-recorded a few days before original airtime. Original airtime will be January 14th, 2017.
Well, I don't think it really matters to our iTunians. They listen whenever the heck they want. But to our Northern Colorado listeners and my mother, we are not live. She doesn't like listening to the shows if it's not a live show.
Well, she never calls in, so I'm not sure why it matters.
I told her, what's the difference? You haven't heard that show. Oh, but it's different because I know you're not in studio live doing it as I'm listening. But anyways, I don't know. For some reason, she wants more live shows.
Maybe you sound better in the studio.
Well, I got bad news for you. We're going in the opposite direction, less live and more pre-recorded because we're just too busy.
We do have a slightly different sound to the show, whether we're in studio or our own studio, because we use different microphones and the acoustics in the room are different. I'm sure some of you paying close attention have noticed the difference, but we tried to make it as close as possible. Not that it matters. As long as you can understand the words coming out of our mouth, it all works.
Don't we have a sound effect?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's it. I knew we had a sound effect for that. What movie is that from?
That is from the one with Jackie Chan. I'll remember
I can't remember. I just like
so when he came over from China and he's partnered up with that American cop and they're trying to so
right and that's and he's saying just, do you understand the words
right,
we had that for those who don't know when we had Devin as the co-host of our show occasionally, which was usually like once or twice per show, Devin would be confused with some of the things Chris and I were saying. Devin was just a normal person. She wasn't working in the financial industry. She was a DJ, or is that what they call DJs? at the radio station?
There's radio, a radio show host.
Radio show host, not really a DJ. So the radio station had her do our co-hosting
hour.
Duties.
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour. Okay.
That was the original Rush Hour movie.
So we got that sound effect because sometimes Devin would look at us and we swore she didn't understand the words that were coming out of our mouth. So we would play that every now and then just
we
to razz her.
So.
We could invite her back on to be a guest
we
co-host.
We should do that.
You want to invite her back on?
Yeah,
I'll reach out to her.
Just to see what's going on. Some of our longtime listeners might be interested to see what she's doing.
All right. We're supposed to be going out to lunch one of these days, so I will get a hold of her and see if she wants to come on. And she has a job now, though, so she may not be able to come here on Tuesdays and record.
Well, she can't say no unless you ask.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll bring her back on. And
we can find some
topic. We can bring back Top of the Hour Comedy Break.
Oh, she'll love that. Yeah, you can come on the radio show, but you have to come prepared to tell a joke.
That was a
was terrible.
That was a great part of our show. For those who don't know, longtime listeners will know. It was about 3 years ago now. Before we went to the songs, the top three songs like we do now, we had a Top of the Hour Comedy Break. And one of us would entertain our listeners with a stand-up comedic skit.
It wasn't really a skit. It was we just had to tell a joke, and it turned out to be bad jokes.
Well, that's because you and Devin didn't play around along. I went out of my way to find real funny jokes. You guys found the corniest, stupidest jokes I've ever heard. And you ruined Top of the Hour Comedy Break.
It's hard to find jokes that are radio safe.
Well, that was a nice part of the show that we don't play anymore because certain people didn't want to play along with it. Okay. Anything you want to chat about before we attack
we're still waiting for an email from someone.
Just so
from
you know,
West
we'll be answering New Jersey, California.
Have a star.
New Jersey again.
Have a star.
Kentucky, but he is willing to say he's from West Virginia if it'll answer his question any quicker.
Well, they're touching, so it's getting close.
And the final one, California again. My goodness. Mm-hmm. They're all this. New Jersey, California.
Because there's a lot of people there. I said that last time.
Wow. That is just odd.
I'm surprised we don't get any many from New York. There's a lot of people there. There's probably a lot of maybe podcast/radio shows there they'd listen to.
Yeah, but what are the odds? There's 50 states. I got a handful of emails that started trickling in from December 26th all the way up to just a few days ago, and they're all from three states. New Jersey, California, and Kentucky. And Kentucky! I mean, my future home state.
Well, we'll see. You haven't been. You haven't even visited there.
I've never been there. Just looks good on a map.
Yeah, we'll go in July.
For just those who don't know, I'm going to retire someday, probably in 12 to 15 years, and I'm looking for places to maybe relocate to. I want some place where hikes won't be as hard, because these mountains kill you when you're in there trying to hike, and I can garden more. So there's got to have rain. Colorado doesn't have enough rain. And Kentucky looks like their mountains are far less onerous than
they are,
the Rockies.
You trade it for the humidity, so when you hike, you're kind of swimming through the air.
And it looks like, I think it rains there. I think they actually get rain.
Oh, sure. You could irrigate a garden without irrigating the garden.
Right.
Naturally.
That's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Colorado, maybe I'll stay here, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll move to Kentucky, maybe I won't. Who knows? It's an open book. But Kentucky is one of my states. Okay. So, my coffee should get here shortly.
How about
so
Costa Rica? Are you
no,
in the country?
No, I'm not looking to become
only
an expat. I want to go somewhere where I can speak my language and be understood.
American Samoa. They even use the dollar.
Well, there you go. Won't have to learn a new currency.
No. And it's a long ways away.
Yeah, that's
and you
pretty
want to come
far
home.
Yeah, that's a long
it's
flight.
It's way out there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll skip American Samoa.
Okay.
The West Slope of Colorado is also in running. Totally, totally different. It's like you're in a different state. I think I told you that on the West Slope.
Mm-hmm.
Went elk hunting there first time. Been in Colorado 17 years, never been to the West Slope. Go to the West Slope to go elk hunting. Had some of the best elk hunting ever. And just totally different state. Totally different people. There's no one there. It's It's a different. It's Colorado, but it looks totally different.
Mm-hmm. Looks like Utah.
I don't know. I've never been to Utah, but
you can see it from there.
Okay, just look west.
Just look west. Yeah.
Okay.
Go west, old man.
Young man.
Oh, I thought I had it.
Okay, so we're going to finish up with one of the New Jersey questions because mm-hmm. I only got to half of his answer. And then I'm going to try to explain to our listeners a little bit more because I seem to be causing this poor man more confusion than help.
That's not our goal.
No. So I'm going to see if I can straighten that out for him again. And then I'm not quite sure which of these remaining five emails we'll get to. We also had Lone Star George called us yesterday. Yeah. He listened to the show on Saturday mm-hmm. where you, myself, and Peter addressed half of his question, the estate planning part of his question, not the financial planning part of his question.
The more important question was, does he have a horse?
Well, I did ask him that at the end of our discussion. He's a nice guy. He didn't really have that heavy of a Texas accent, mm-hmm. but I could tell a little Texan in him. But I did ask him, I said, at the end, I said, you know, one of the things we were wondering is, do you have a horse? I assumed you would have horses. And he said, tell Chris I have a Mustang. And then he said, but not the kind you guys were talking about. Hmm. So I'm led to believe he has technically a horse.
No. A car named after a horse isn't the same. That's like being in Kentucky and claiming you're from West Virginia.
Well, he may have a horse. We know he has a Mustang.
You're just trying to be right. No, you were wrong. He doesn't own a horse. Not everyone in Texas owns a horse.
Well, he doesn't.
That's like everybody assuming if you're from Wyoming, you ride a horse to school.
They don't?
A couple do. Some do, but not everybody.
You grew up in Wyoming, so opening day of deer season, were the schools half empty?
There was noticeable absenteeism during, hunting season.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it being excessive, but you'd always have a few friends gone, sure.
Okay. Just curious. And how about during, opening day of rodeo?
Well, the big rodeo, the daddy of them all.
Yeah, but that's July.
Frontier days.
No one's in
July.
School.
No one's in school. There's no rodeo, really. While we're in school. It doesn't start until after school.
Okay.
Although, fun fact about Wyoming, when the University of Wyoming football team is playing, and if the stadium is full, that becomes the third largest city in the state.
If it's a sold-out game, it's the third mm-hmm. largest city?
Yeah, the stadium itself.
Yeah, it's a very rural area.
It is quite rural.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I drive through there, I'm amazed at how rural it is. And the same thing with West Slope of Colorado. We hunted in the town of Mika. There was only 2,500 people there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole town. They had one stop sign, stoplight, mm-hmm. and it was just blinking. It didn't even need to work. It just mm-hmm. blinked.
I was born in a town of 2,500 people.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. That's like Mika. Mm-hmm. I would get bored. That to me was, again, I got my elk on opening day, and the friends I was with, they didn't get their elk until last day. So for 3 days before my friends got their elk, I would go into Mika. And my God, after a while, there was just nothing to do there.
Well, it's because you didn't live. If you live there, there'd be stuff to do. There'd be stuff to do on your property and go out.
No, a town of 2,500 people, there's nothing to do.
At your homestead, there is what I'm saying.
My homestead.
At your house, at your place. You got, it's your place. You have some acreage and you got stuff to do there.
Right, and then if I have to do something, I can get in my car and drive to a Home Depot. One cannot do that in Mika. They don't even have a movie theater.
Correct. But thank goodness for Netflix.
They barely have fast internet. It's
Netflix at standard definition.
Okay. Well, let's stop with the bantering about Mika.
That's a good idea.
And get into a question.
By the way, those of you who are going to look it up on the internet, it's Meeker, M-E-E-K-E-R.
So I said Mika.
I'm just clarifying for our Californians.
California knows where Mika is, just head east. Okay, but for those of you who are hunters and you're thinking of coming to Colorado, let me tell you, someone who's been hunting here for 17 years, go where the elk are. That's Mika. Apparently, I found out they have the biggest elk herd in that Rio Blanco County area. And that's why, I've never saw and heard so many elk on an elk hunting trip as the trip to Mika. All righty. So this gentleman, you'll remember him, Chris. We answered his question, I think, 3 weeks ago now because we didn't have a show on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And he was the gentleman who is from New Jersey. He has a 401k and a Roth 401k, if you remember. He has a mixture of money that he has put in to the 401k and deducted, money that he put into his 401k and did not deduct, money that he put into his Roth IRA, and of course, money that the employer put in. And he had wrote to us because he was under the impression that when he started to take distributions, essentially every dollar that would come out of his 401k would be a mixture of those four contributions, mm-hmm. that he would have to take some out of the pre-tax 401k, post-tax 401k, employer 401k contributions, and after-tax Roth. It would be a mixture of all four. Okay, so we explained to him that no, it doesn't work that way. And we went on to tell him that really that all's what the government is going to be tracking or wanting you to track is, first of all, they would treat his 401k and Roth 401k separately. And that was one of the things he didn't see. And he wrote back on that because remember we told him they would treat it separately. Correct. So he wrote back and he said, the way you explained it, it sounds like my traditional 401k and Roth 401k are being treated separately, even though Vanguard, he doesn't work for Vanguard. He works for an employer that uses Vanguard as the custodian of their 401k. Even though Vanguard does not present my 401k plan as two accounts. So he's saying he sees it as one account. He went on to say, however, I can display a list by different sources of contributions, and I can see the amounts of my investments in those categories, Roth Basic, Roth Catch-Up. I'm thinking that at some point after I retire, I want to consolidate my Roth Basic, Roth Catch-Up, contributions of after-tax, contributions in his 401k. So he's saying that Vanguard is not showing them as your Roth account and your traditional account. They're showing them more by how the money was contributed. I don't really know because he didn't send us a copy of his statement.
I think the statements I've seen, it might come on one statement. But the ones I've seen in the past, and I haven't seen a Vanguard one, would generally have them kind of separated on the statement. But it's possible, if he's looking just online, it's a little bit different than a paper statement. I bet if he got access to a paper statement, it might break it out for him a little bit more like he's expecting.
Okay.
But legally, they are two separate accounts being held for you. Since the rules are so different between them, they do... they're structured as two separate accounts.
Well, he wrote back that email to me in response to our show where he answered his first question. What we didn't have a chance to answer was his second part of his question from a few weeks ago, and I said that I would get back to it. But what I want our listeners to know, if you're in his situation and you have a traditional 401k and a Roth 401k, please understand, they are separate accounts. And maybe, and I haven't seen enough statements, Chris, maybe some of these custodians are just having their statements look as if it's one, even though it's multiple. Now, I have seen statements for TIA. I used to be TIA Craft, now they're just TIA. I have seen some statements from them where people will have a 403B, a 457, and maybe a 401A in through one employer. And that statement is a rolling, confusing statement. The beginning of the statement are all three accounts as one. And then you have to keep going through the statement to see those three accounts broken out separately. So if you're looking at just the beginning part, it looks like one big account. Maybe that's what that Vanguard is doing for this gentleman. But I want our listeners to I want our listeners to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, your Roth 401k and traditional 401k are two separate accounts. And when you take a distribution, you can request which account you take it from. Can we pause a minute? My coffee's coming.
Well, we're not going to pause the recording, but we can pause you talking.
Thank you.
So that you can. I'm not sure why he doesn't do this before the show starts, but I think it's for dramatic effect. Just to prove to people you have someone who will bring you coffee.
People know I have someone who will bring me coffee.
Yeah, because you keep pointing it out and having it done on the show.
Because what happens, you get here at noon as I'm getting ready to eat lunch. Mm-hmm. And then I eat lunch, and then what do I want after lunch?
A coffee.
A coffee.
So get that done before we start.
When do we start recording? After lunch.
Right. So,
I order the coffee
while you're
after
eating lunch. You can have him go get your coffee.
No, because then the coffee's cold.
He hands it to you as you enter the radio studio.
Oh, this works fine.
Is that too much pre-planning?
Apparently.
Okay.
So back to what I was saying. Your Roth 401k and your traditional 401k are two separate accounts, people. And when you take money from them, you can specify which account you're taking it from, the Roth or the traditional 401k. In a traditional 401k, you can have two types of contributions, pre-tax and post-tax. Most people have pre-tax money in a 401k. That's money that you have never paid taxes on yet. The money that you put in as a contribution, you've deducted. The money that the employer put in, you don't pay taxes on it yet. But you can also have post-tax money in a 401k. Money that you put into a traditional 401k, you do not deduct the money on your taxes, so it's essentially after-tax contributions, but that can be mixed into a 401k. The industry jargon for that money, it is called basis. Now remember, Chris, what we shared with him on the show 3 weeks ago. We told him that as he removes money from his 401k, he can specify if he wants to take money from his traditional 401k or his Roth 401k. If he called up Vanguard and said, give me money from my traditional 401k, they will do what with those two types of contributions inside his 401k? Because he's admitted he has pre-tax and post-tax contributions in the 401k.
They're going to prorate those.
Go ahead. I'm going to have my coffee.
Which is, they're going to look at the percentage that each of those contributions represented as they went in, and as money then comes out, it's going to be a mix of those two together. And a lot of you, though, might be wondering, why the heck is there post-tax dollars in a traditional 401k? It is possible to do that, and that's something that people would do before really there was Roth 401ks offered at certain employers. Those of you who have been working in an employer that has one may have seen this transition where you had a 401k for years and years and years, and then suddenly they offered the Roth option. There were people that put in extra contributions that were not able to be deducted on their taxes into the traditional 401k. So it is possible to have this mixture of items, although it's fairly uncommon.
It's uncommon, but common enough that I have seen it many, many times.
Well,
so when he takes money out of his traditional 401k, he will call up Vanguard and he might say, give me $10,000 from my 401k. Vanguard will send him a check for $10,000, but in the eyes of the IRS, he took pre-tax and post-tax money. And let's just say it was 90% pre-tax and 10% post-tax. The custodian of the 401k will keep track. By law, they have to keep track of post-tax contributions. So they'll be able to tell you what your exclusion ratio or your contribution ratio is. They'll say it's 90% pre-tax, 10% post-tax. So if that was the breakdown, out of the $10,000 that he receives, $9,000 of the $10,000 will be money that has never been taxed to him and he'll owe taxes on it. And 10% of the money, or $1,000 if he took out $10,000, will be after-tax money that won't be taxable to him. Well, the music always confuses me.
After all these years? Which means we have about a minute left.
All right.
We usually wrap up what your thought is. You don't have to just stop abruptly. But we're going to continue on with additional questions from this gentleman.
Yes, because he wants to know what happens when he moves his Roth 401k.
Moves it?
moves it?
Okay, that's a great question to answer. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. When we come back from this first break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935 as we look back to the year that Social Security was started. And this popular song from 1935 celebrates the nightlife of Broadway and its denizens who, quote, don't sleep tight until the dawn. That's a strange hint, but I have a suspicion that it has to do with the lyrics on the show or on the song. So we'll hear what that is right after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
That, of course, is the Lullaby of Broadway, performed by the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. Music appeared in two movies, so back in 1935, again, there must not have been enough songs to go around because they used the same songs in multiple movies. First, it was in the musical film Gold Diggers of 1935, and then later that year, it was background music in the Betty Davis film Special Agent. So,
sounds almost like the Roadrunner.
Might have been reused for the Roadrunner.
With the horns going meep, meep.
Oh, that part?
Yeah. Kind of had a little bit of Roadrunner. Yeah.
Eventually there are words to the song, but...
We won't go that long. There we go. The Lullaby of Broadway. Okay.
So yeah, that's our song from 1935, the same year that Social Security started. Social Security Act of 1935 was signed into law in August of 1935. And still exists with us today. Albeit with a few modifications and changes.
And many more to come. Okay, well, we do that as a lead into what's new on Help With My Social Security in the start of the fourth segment. So next segment, we're going to lead in with a song from 40 years ago. And then the segment after that, a song from 35 years ago, as we lead into what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And when we get to the 40 and 35, we'll explain why we look back those years as well. It all ties into Social Security. So longtime listeners know, new listeners, you'll have to keep listening to how we tie this all into Social Security, how music ties into Social Security. Okay, so back to this listener's question. The first part, he did understand, but he wanted to point out to us that Vanguard is, in his opinion, not listing his traditional 401k and Roth 401k as separate accounts. He sees everything on, I guess, one unified statement, but they do keep track and show him what is his Roth contribution they call basic, Roth contribution they call catch-up. That's only allowing him to put extra money in because he's over the age of 50. They allow you to put what they call catch-up contributions in. And they're keeping track of his pre-tax and post-tax and employer contributions in his 401k, traditional 401k, but he doesn't see them really keeping track of two separate accounts. We want to reiterate to him, they are separate accounts. Do not worry about that. So the second part of his question, though, goes on. In general, after I retire, I should be able to roll over my 401k into IRAs. Am I correct that the Roth 401k and the post-tax dollars will have to be rolled over into a Roth IRA, while the rest will be rolled over to a regular IRA? Did I hear right that you and Chris said it should be possible to only roll over the Roth 401k and I assume the post-tax dollars into a Roth IRA while leaving the rest in the 401k? So let's, I don't want to keep reading because he goes on with some more questions. Let me explain what he's asking here. He has money inside a Roth 401k is always after-tax contributions and growth. There are no pre-tax contributions into a Roth 401k. You cannot do that. It's always after-tax. Money that goes into a Roth is always after-tax. The growth is either going to be taxable or non-taxable, depending on if you take a qualified distribution or not. But in a traditional 401k, as Chris said in the previous segment, you can have pre-tax and post-tax dollars. He's essentially asking, Chris, can he move just the Roth 401k to a Roth IRA and just the after-tax money that is in his traditional 401k to a Roth IRA and leave the rest of his traditional 401k there? And the answer to that is no. It doesn't work that way. So let's look at some of the elements that he has happening here. Yes, he can, even though he still seems to not trust us on this. Did I hear you right? Is it you and Chris saying? Yes, he can move just his Roth 401k and not touch any of the traditional 401k. That part of his question, yes. Without a doubt, he can move just the Roth 401k to a Roth IRA and not touch the other. But what he cannot do is move the Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, and then while he's on the phone with Vanguard, because remember, Vanguard's his custodian with the 401ks, say to them, hey, in my traditional 401k, just take all that after-tax contributions that I made over the years. Just take all that after-tax contribution and move that to a Roth IRA as well. And leave my 401k with Vanguard where it is, and now it'll essentially be all pre-tax money. Mm-hmm. He can't do that. It doesn't work that way. So he's confusing some new rules. I guess they're kind of new. They came out in October 2014, so they're not overly new, but they're new enough. And that was when they came out with IRS Notice 2014-54. We dedicated an entire show to that notice when it came out. And it was the IRS explaining how to essentially separate cream from coffee. How you can take the after-tax money in a traditional 401k, the money that you've already paid taxes on, the basis, how you can take that money and move it to a Roth 401, a Roth IRA, and then take the remaining money and move that to a traditional IRA. They explain how to do that in IRS Notice 2014-54. And it was released September 18th of 2014. There's a whole set of rules out there on how to do it. But the biggest rule is you have to actually move the 401k.
So he can kind of accomplish what he wants, getting him separated like that, separate the cream from the coffee is how we describe it here. But he can't leave some of it behind in the 401k. It's all going to have to go out to the IRAs.
If he wants all of the after-tax money moved to a Roth IRA, all of the 401k has to be moved.
Which might be ultimately what he wants anyway, but he has to be aware that he is losing the ability, if for some reason he needed to or wanted to leave some money behind in that traditional 401k.
And what the IRS Notice 2014-54 explains to people is what I said in the first segment, folks. When you take money out of a traditional 401k, and Chris added to this, all money is prorated. And Chris talked about that. So every distribution from a traditional 401k, not a Roth 401k, because a Roth 401k is always after-tax contributions. They're always after-tax contributions. There's no pre-tax contributions in a Roth 401k.
So there's only cream in the 401k Roth style.
Correct.
There's not a mix. And the traditional 401k might have just coffee in it. Or like this gentleman, it has a mix of coffee and cream together, and that's the challenge. What this IRS notice did was to describe a method of separating that cream and coffee, but the end result is no monies can be left behind in the traditional 401k.
If you want to move all right. basis, all after-tax money, you have to move the entire 401k because all distributions are prorated, folks. So let's again assume he has 90% pre-tax money and 10% post-tax money in his traditional 401k. If he wants just that 10% post-tax money to go to a Roth account, it would go tax-free. He wouldn't have to pay any taxes if he can get that converted into a Roth. There'll be no taxes owed on that 10%, but there would be taxes owed on the other 90. And maybe he doesn't want to pay that and move it all to a Roth. Every dollar that comes out of that 401k will always be 90% pre, 10% post. So if he wants to get all 10% to a Roth, he's got to move 100% of the money. But what IRS Notice 2014-54, again, released September 18th of 2014, says is that once that distribution is made, it is always pro rata when you take it out. But the minute it's out, now you can specify what goes where. You can't specify what goes where before it comes out. Only after. Now it's out. 90% pre-tax, 10% post-tax. Now you can specify, I want my 90% pre-tax to go to an IRA. I want my 10% post-tax to go to a Roth. So you can separate it once it's out of the IRA, excuse me, the 401k. So it always, though, has to come out, folks, pro rata. Once it's out, now you can direct it. You can't direct it inside and say, keep the 90% pre-tax inside, just give me the 10% post-tax to take out. You don't separate it on the inside. You only separate it on the outside. And in order to get money outside of a traditional 401k, it always comes out pro rata. Now, I made it sound really easy because we've done a whole show on revenue ruling on IRS Notice 2014-54. It is a lot more complicated than I made it sound on how you go about doing this, mostly because the paperwork has to be done, Chris, perfectly, because it's actually the custodian, in his case, Vanguard, who has to do it right. So you have to have very explicit instructions to Vanguard on where to send the money. And then there's specific ordering on what money gets moved first. You cannot move money to the Roth account first. Money has to move to a traditional IRA first. The Roth is the very last account to be funded, not the first. So when his money comes out, whatever he wants to go to an IRA, and again, we're using a 90-10 on a mix of pre- and post-tax, 90% has to go to an IRA first, Chris, and then 10% can go to a Roth. The problem is a lot of custodians will only issue one check, so it gets very confusing on how to do this. Now, I'm hoping after 2 years, it'll be 3 years come this September, of having this revenue ruling, custodians have caught up and will issue two checks because it would make people's lives easier. So the actual schematics on how to do this, people, is a lot more complicated than Chris and I are making it out to sound. I have a newsletter that I have been sharing with people. If anybody wants a copy of it, you have to email me and let me know. It is from the Ed Slot program that I belong to. It's a very, I think it's like 6 or 8 pages, but he walks through all the steps, Chris, on how to correctly do a notice 2014-54 movement of your pre- and post-tax money from a traditional 401k. But back to this gentleman's question, he wanted to know, can he just move his Roth 401k? Yes. Can he move just his Roth 401k and the after-tax contributions? No. You cannot do that. Okay. Another thing I want to clarify, mostly because this has caused some confusion on one of the financial planning forums that you and I frequent.
Hmm.
You may not have seen the question. I don't think you go to it anymore, do you?
I stopped going, honestly, because they killed the mobile app.
Yeah.
That made it pretty easy to keep up on it. And now you have to go through the web portal that is crappy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't been on there for a while.
Well, someone was wondering, goodness, excuse me. When you move money through Notice 2014-54, that money is essentially converted to a Roth IRA, the post-tax money.
Yeah.
When can your, he asked clients, access that money, tax and penalty free? So that was an interesting question.
That was an interesting question.
When can that money be accessed? So let's look at this and let's talk about a few things. When you move a Roth 401k, because remember, this gentleman is going to move both. And I think he, let me pull out his email here. Does he even ask that? I can only get to the money that I contributed since I'm not 59 and a half years old yet. Okay, so he's kind of asking that. Excuse me. So let's look at two things, because he has a few items moving on here. When he moves his 401k, Chris, his Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, that is not a conversion.
Correct.
Because he's going from Roth to Roth. That's not a conversion. It's not a conversion when you go from a 401k to an IRA. It's a conversion when you go from a non-Roth to a Roth. Not from a Roth to a Roth, but from a non-Roth to a Roth. That's a Roth conversion. So when he moves his Roth 401k money, there is no time limit on when he can access his money, his contributions, let's put it that way. Because your contributions can come out at any time for any reason, no taxes, no penalties.
On a Roth.
On a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
So when he moves his Roth 401k, there will be a mixture in there of contribution and growth. When he moves it to an IRA, he can remove his contributions at any time, no taxes, no penalties. However, he cannot remove the growth until he is 59 and a half and has had a Roth for at least 5 years. If he has an existing Roth, Roths have been around since 1998, so many people have very old Roths. As long as he has been in the Roth program for 5 years, the Roth IRA program, because he's moving from a 401k to an IRA, he will have satisfied that as well. So he indicated in here when he first retires, he will not be 59 and a half. So he's correct. Initially, the only money he's going to be able to access would be his Roth 401k contributions. Mm-hmm. The growth would sit. One unique thing, if he tried to do this at the 401k level and not move it, could he still do that?
No.
And he can't do it because, and this is one of those, why the hell did they make this rule?
I agree.
They make a distribution from a Roth 401k prorated between contributions and growth. But in an IRA, it's always contributions first, then conversions, then growth, like a three-layer cake.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the Roth 401k, it's like a marble cake.
Right.
It's all mixed in.
And also the 401k Roth style has RMDs, where a Roth IRA does not. So even though they're both called Roths, there are some slight differences in some of these detailed rules.
So if he left the Roth 401k at his employer and wanted to take out his contributions only because he's younger than 59 and a half and he doesn't want to pay a 10% penalty, He couldn't. There would always be some growth. So he has to move the Roth 401k to an IRA. Then, magically, the ordering rules come in.
Yeah.
And the first dollars to come out would be his contributions. Right. He's asking, who keeps track of all this? To get the answer to this, walk to your bathroom and look in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's who.
Unfortunately.
So you have to keep track of all this. Vanguard, the custodian, will have some information, but definitely keep track of it, because if you're ever audited, you're going to have to prove to them you only took out your contributions and no earnings. So you're going to have to keep track of it. And when you start taking money out of, you don't really use Form 8606 at this level, but you do want to have a spreadsheet or something to keep track of this, because you have to prove it. But it's one of those weird rules that when you take money out of a Roth 401k, you cannot take just your contributions. Your contributions and growth are mixed in. When you take money out of a Roth IRA, you have those separate ordering rules. That's the first thing. But what about when he moves the after-tax money from his traditional 401k? That now, Chris, is what?
Well, that's a conversion now, because he's going from a traditional to a Roth-style account. But the weird thing is those after-tax contributions that he's moving, there's no tax on the conversion when he puts it into the Roth.
If he follows
that IRS notice about how to actually accomplish it.
2014-54.
Correct. So that becomes a challenge. And then you've got a conversion that's taking place, and there's a separate five-year clock for conversions.
Exactly. And that's where it gets a little muddied now.
I wish they'd made those numbers different. I wish there was a six-year clock and a five-year clock, because these things get confused all the time.
They do.
They both happen to be coincidentally a five-year length, but they apply differently.
Separately.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen if he tries to take advantage of IRS notice 2014-54, and he's going to take his traditional 401k and move it? The money that goes into a Roth IRA, that money is a conversion. It's right. Not a transfer. In the other case, remember, folks, it was a transfer. When he goes from his Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, that's just a transfer. But when he goes from a traditional 401k to a Roth IRA, it is a conversion. And now things get a little bit different on when he can access money or what he can do. When he converts, so let's just say there's $100,000 in there, $90,000 is pre-tax, $10,000 is post-tax. He does a proper IRS notice 2014-54 movement, $90,000 goes to an IRA, $10,000 goes to a Roth IRA. That Roth IRA also has contributions in it and earnings in it. And he's younger than 59 and a half. The first thing, none of that conversion is taxable.
Correct, because it was already paid tax when it was put into the traditional 401k in the first place. It was after-tax money, so there's no tax consequence. There's no penalty for moving it, converting it from the traditional 401k over to the Roth IRA. But there's this five-year attachment where it's considered conversion money, and he can't access that money as if it were contributions. So even though some of that money might be considered contributions when it went into the traditional 401k, that label changes as it goes into the Roth IRA. And that's where the ordering rules come in. When the money comes out, the first thing that comes out of a Roth IRA is contributions. The next thing that comes out is conversions. And then the last thing are any earnings that might be in the account. So he won't have access to all of that penalty-free, as if just like his contributions can come out penalty-free even before 59 and a half. The conversion money,
the $10,000 would be tax and penalty-free.
But the earnings on that $10,000, that attachment
so
that's in there.
So let's talk about the first part and then the earnings. So the first part is when this money moves, the $10,000 moves to a Roth IRA. there is no taxes owed on that particular conversion because he's only moving after-tax dollars. And there is no... So he could...
Don't have quite enough time to finish this. So we'll have to clean this up after the
break. I'll clean this up when we come back after the break.
So that music means we're to our next break here all of a sudden. We're going to take a listen when we come back to the top song, the number one song from 40 years ago as we look back 40 years.
Is it the number one? We're back to number one now?
It is. This week's top hit is a song about a girl that brings rainbows and happiness into the singer's life. Wow. That's 1977 for you.
Rainbows
and happiness.
Wow. Is it a male singer or a female singer?
This is a male singer who sounds like a female.
Oh, geez.
So you'll find out what I mean here in just a second. So when we come back from this break, we're going to hear the number one song from this week in 1977 here on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from this week in 1977. How does the microphone work?
How does the microphone work? How does he get his voice that high?
Well, it's called falsetto. Certain males have the ability to do that. I do not. At least not voluntarily.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of help with a vice.
Yeah, no. So that's Leo Sayer. You make me feel like dancing.
So how does that have to do with rainbows and dreams or whatever you were saying?
You make me feel like dancing? Somewhere, something about rainbows and happiness. We didn't listen to the whole song. We discovered that, I think. Yeah. We're not going to listen to the whole song, Jim, so I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay. Never mind.
Somewhere in there, it talks about rainbows and happiness.
Well, I didn't know if your cheat sheet there indicated why rainbows and happiness
were... It talks about it being co-written between Sayer and Vinnie Poncey, writer for Kiss songs.
Not sound like a Kiss song.
No, but Vinnie apparently wrote for Leo as well as Kiss.
Now, that must be hot. You got to put on a Kiss hat or a Leo hat because those are two different types of music.
Leo's original name was Gerard. Gerard has a high voice. Doesn't really fit. I'm not sure Leo fits either.
Okay, interesting. I do remember the song.
Yeah, of course.
But wow, that's I forgot how high he was singing.
And many times when I heard that, it took me a while before someone told me that was a guy. It could have easily been a female.
Okay. All right, back to what I'm trying to explain, because I have a feeling I'm confusing people, because I confused you a little, and at the break we chatted, and you learned something.
I learned something about a nuance of a conversion. Where what I was describing is the kind of the traditional way people convert money from a traditional account to, no pun intended, I'm using the word traditional way too much here. So the typical way people convert from a traditional 401k, say, or a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, remember, Roths have that special rule where any money you put in can come out at any time for any reason, no taxes, no penalty. So people got the idea that, wow, I've got this money in my traditional IRA, and if I take it out when I'm 40 for some reason, I'm going to pay taxes, which I'm okay with that because I'm eventually going to have to pay taxes anyway, but I'm also going to get hit by this 10% penalty, but money in my Roth that I've put in there, I can get away with avoiding the 10% penalty. So a person converts the money to a Roth. This was the attempt or the thought process. And once I convert it, now I'll be able to access that money that I put in there because Roths don't have that penalty on contributions. Well, the IRS said, no, that we're not going to let you do that. And we're going to put this 5-year clock on there so that once you convert from a traditional account to a Roth, you've got to wait 5 years before you can access that money penalty free. So when we were talking about this case, this is unique because, as I told you, it's fairly out of the ordinary to have post-tax money in a traditional 401k. Usually in that account is where people are putting pre-tax money to then be taxed as you distribute it in retirement. Here, this person that we're talking about and others out there have post-tax money in a traditional 401k, and we're talking about the process of getting that money into a Roth IRA. Because it was already tax paid or post-tax, when it ends up in the Roth IRA, there's no tax on that transaction, on that movement, because taxes have already been paid. I assumed that the same 5-year conversion rule applied to that money, and apparently there's an exception to that.
There is an exception, and I will confess this as I started researching this, and this is why we constantly study, Chris. I mean, it's people, colleagues mostly, will say to me, why do you do all this traveling and studying? Because you're always going to learn something. And when I learned this, I was like, ooh, this is something I didn't know before. So what happens when you convert after-tax money? This is not a common thing, converting after-tax money. The two biggest ways we see it is after-tax money in a traditional 401k that gets moved by IRS 2014-54 ruling, the one that we just talked about, or the backdoor Roth. The backdoor Roth contribution, which is essentially putting after-tax money in a traditional IRA and then converting it, those are the two main ways where after-tax money gets converted. Well, believe it or not, you don't have to wait on that converted money to access it without having to pay a 10% penalty. Because first of all, the 10% early withdrawal penalty doesn't apply to after-tax monies. So the money that you convert, the non-taxable portion of the Roth conversion, is immediately available to you tax and penalty free. And for those out there who doubt it, Treasury Regulation 1.408A-6, Q&A Section-5B addresses that. So if anybody wants to look it up themselves, there it is. And I got this from the Kitsis blog. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take credit for this. He found this little bit, and I learned it by reading from him. So if this turns out to be wrong, we will all hold Mike personally responsible. But he is the one that found the non-taxable portion of a Roth conversion is always available tax and penalty free. You can tap it immediately. The standard 10% early withdrawal penalty does not apply. And again, that's Treasury Regulation 1.408A-6 Q&A Section 5B. So you have to go there, go down to the bottom of the page to the Q&A section and read question 5B. Okay, so when this gentleman does this, Chris, and he moves, in our hypothetical example, it's $10,000, that $10,000, if he does it correctly, will move into a Roth IRA as a Roth conversion. But that money will be immediately available to him without the 10% penalty. Now, the growth, as you pointed out during the break, if there was any growth, that would still have to stay in until the Roth is 5 years old, unless it already is 5 years old, if he's taking care of that 5-year rule. And he's over the age of 59 and a half. Remember, this listener said he was younger than 59 and a half. But what I want him to know is that if he moves that money, he will have access to it, at least not the growth, but the non-taxable conversion amount. Now, remember, Chris, I said when the money comes out of the traditional 401k, it will be a mixture of, and we used a 90-10 breakdown in our example, 90% of it, Chris, will be taxable, 10% will not. Let's say there is $100,000. Remember, I said the first dollars you move, those dollars are your pre-tax dollars first. This is how the IRS does this. This is how you can direct where the money goes. The money comes out of the traditional 401k, a mix of both pre- and post-tax. But once it's out, you direct the pre-tax money first and the post-tax money second. So let's just say he takes out $100,000, Chris. Let's say it's a 90-10 breakdown. $90,000 is pre-tax, $10,000 is post-tax. And he moves $80,000 to an IRA. Well, that is all pre-tax money. The first money that moves is pre-tax money. So the remaining money is what? $10,000 pre-tax and $10,000 post-tax. And this money is just kind of floating there in limbo. All this is happening by the custodian. You've sent the custodian instructions on what to do. So Kitsis, as well as myself and Ed Slott, recommend a letter of instruction telling the custodian what you're doing. Once that money is out of my account, Mr. and Mrs. Custodian, I want you to send $80,000 to this traditional IRA. I want the other $20,000 sent to this Roth IRA. In this now, I know this isn't what the guy's going to do. I want you to understand what's happening here. So now what is happening, Chris? We have $10,000 of more of a traditional conversion, pre-tax money, and $10,000 of post-tax money, because that's what's left. The $20,000 that's left is $10,000 pre-tax, $10,000 post-tax. Now, if he did that in our hypothetical example, he has to pay taxes on $10,000, correct?
Right.
And now that money would have that five-year rule. Mm-hmm. But the $10,000 that he doesn't have to pay taxes on, that money does not have a five-year rule. He could take it out at any time. So does that add a little more clarity?
Yes. Makes perfect sense now. However, just another reason why these accounts are way too complicated. And
it's easy to screw up.
Yeah, it's easy to screw up. And I'm a proponent of kind of scrapping it for a more simple system.
But yeah.
We got a long way to go for that.
The problem is the people writing the rules don't know what the hell they're doing.
The URA, right? The Universal Retirement Account.
Yeah, although I got to give Obama credit. He only has 10 days left. But his name, Myra, I'm jealous on that.
That he came up with that?
Yeah.
There was a listener who actually proposed a different acronym for another universal type health,
what was his
retirement account. It rolled off the tongue better than URA.
It did. It was much better than URA. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was. I thought you might, but
no,
I'll look it up maybe.
But Myra from the Obama administration, I got to give him credit for coming up with that. Yep. Okay, well, I beat this horse to death, so I want to keep moving on. I just hope the listener gets a better idea of what it is we were trying to explain him, how to move this money, what will he have access to, what won't he have access to. The big takeaway also, folks, work with someone who knows what the heck they're doing with all this, because there's a lot of rules and a lot of nuances that have to be followed. And if it isn't done right, if your letter of instruction to the custodian isn't correct, if you're not tracking basis, you may be unnecessarily paying a 10% penalty on money you don't have to pay a penalty on, or you may be doing things so wrong, you're going to screw it all up, such as you take the money out and you tell in your letter of instruction, move $10,000 to my Roth, move the other $90,000 to my IRA. What money moves first, Chris? Pre-tax money always moves first. You just got a $10,000 conversion and you got $10,000 of after-tax money in an IRA. you have to specify the first dollars moved are pre-tax dollars, so you best put them in the account you want correctly. So it's all these stupid little rules you have to follow.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to a copy of that newsletter, like I said, just write to me and I will send you a copy of Ed's newsletter. And it really does walk you through how to go about doing this movement. Now, when he wrote this, it was 3 years ago, well, 2 years ago, and this notice had just passed. And he talks a lot in his newsletter that we're not sure custodians are going to understand this right away. They've got to figure this all out. So he keeps mentioning that in his newsletter. I would hope by now, Chris, custodians have this all figured it out. And they're going to be, oh, okay, this is just a 2014-54 movement. Let's do it this way.
We'd hope.
We'd hope, yeah. Whether or not that happens, who knows. Okay. So pick a state. Do you want California?
West Virginia.
We don't have West Virginia. This was Jersey, so you got Kentucky.
I like the guy's attitude in Kentucky. He wanted to be moved to the top of the list by volunteering to be considered from
West Virginia. Okay, let me find his... It's funny that I get electronic emails and I print them out.
That is funny. Funny is one word. Sad is another.
And you haven't remarked that I was holding them up here with my iPad.
Yeah, he's propping them up with his iPad, his paper holder.
It's acting as an Edsel. An easel.
Yeah, it could be an Edsel as well.
It's my iPad is my easel. Okay, I have our Kentuckian who offered to lie if you'd like. Mm-hmm.
No, well, I appreciate his offer, but we're not going to make him do that.
So he begins, Jim and Chris, I love the podcast. I will gladly be a West Virginia resident if this helps get my question answered. It borders my home state of Kentucky. West Virginia is basically an extension of Eastern Kentucky.
I'd agree with that. It's okay. Just one of those lines that was drawn by the rivers of the area.
Well, you know how West Virginia, Virginia broke off, Civil War.
I understand that, but we're talking about the...
The border?
The borders of a lot of these states, they're all jagged and crazy.
So what river separates West Virginia and Kentucky?
That's the Kentucky-Ginia River.
Now you're making that up.
Let me look. I don't think there's a
Kentucky-Ginia River. Never heard of it.
Start reading the question while I figure out what river that is.
All right, you do that. So he begins, but alas, I have a complicated question and will try to be specific enough to help you understand the question. I have been with my same employer for 18 years. He lists the name of the employer. I'm not going to mention it. I don't think it's necessarily germane to his email. So he says, I've been with the same employer for 18 years and I'm 42. Did you get the river?
Not yet. Our map is not to the scale that could tell me, but I'm going to look it up.
It's all right. I don't think our listeners really need
it. No, well, they need to know.
All right.
Every question brought up on the show has to be answered.
Why?
I don't know.
That's a question. That's not an answer.
Because.
You sound like a kid now. Okay, so he goes on. 3 years ago, I accepted a new position within the company. And then essentially what he did is he left the bargaining unit and went to work for management. So he left the rank and file, and now he's management. But it's the same company, Chris, and that's key here, okay? It's the same company. Formerly, I participated in the 401k plan for non-management employees. However, since I no longer am eligible to participate in the old plan, it has become dormant. It does have available some low-cost index funds. However, no brokerage window is available. Per Fidelity, the plan custodian... He does not work for Fidelity, folks. It's just the custodian that's holding his employer's plan. Per Fidelity, the plan custodian and administrator, I am not eligible to roll it over to an IRA or to a new plan. He's got to just leave it there, Chris. And he says, I hate being stuck in a dormant plan with plain vanilla and expensive choices. They are being guided by plan rules, but does ERISA have anything to say about a plan in which you can no longer contribute? It seems to me that I should be able to take control of my options and do a rollover. So what do you think of that question? And you're still trying to look up the river. Did you find the river?
Mm-hmm. It appears to start as the Tug Fork and then turns into the Big Sandy, which contributes right into the Ohio River. So it's headed for the Ohio River, but starts off life as Tug Fork.
So literally river. The border is a river?
Well, yeah, that's why all those borders in those eastern states that are all jagged are because they're like, okay, on this side of the river, it's one state. On this side, it was a way to draw lines back in those the olden days. Out west here, they just pulled out a map and took out a straight edge and said, okay, along this line, not a straight edge technically, but they're slightly curved if you look at them because they follow the latitude lines.
Okay.
Anyway.
So what do you think of this gentleman's question? To summarize it, he...
I hope it has to do with a river because that was all I was focused on.
You didn't listen to a damn thing I just said?
Darn thing, no.
I'll summarize.
Can you do that?
So he was working for an employer as rank and file.
Okay.
Participating in their rank and file 401k.
Excellent.
He got a promotion and accepted it. Mm. And that pushed him into management.
Right.
So as a member of management, he participates in the management 401k. Totally different 401k. Mm. Same company. Totally different 401k.
Yep.
He's not allowed to participate in the rank and file 401k anymore. They won't let him. He's got to put his money in the management 401k.
Yep.
He got a hold of Fidelity, the custodian of his 401k, and said, hey, I want to move this now, quote unquote, old 401k because I'm no longer rank and file. I'm management, same company.
Yep.
And Fidelity said, no, your plan does not allow you to move it. You have to leave it there. So he wrote and said, is there anything under ERISA that would help him be able to move a 401k that he calls dormant? He can't do anything with it. He can't put money in. He can't take his money out. It's got to just sit there. Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to move it. And they're saying he can't move it. Anything you want to add, say, or just listen to me? Yep.
Well, as when you're still working for a company, they can have rules about you taking the money out. So I would, are you asking me for my guess as to this answer? Because I haven't, this is the first I'm hearing of this question, so I haven't looked it up. This is something I'd want to verify, but my knee-jerk reaction to this is that he hasn't separated from service, so he's falling under the rules that don't allow in-service distributions, so he can't move it. He could move money into his current 401k from another employer, but since this is the same employer, he's still working there. And even though it's technically kind of these two groups, the management group and the rank and file group, I agree with Fidelity that they can disallow that, and the plan document must talk about that. Now, they could provide that functionality in the plan documentation. So this isn't a rule, an ERISA rule that prevents this. They can allow in-service distributions. So it's the plan document that's preventing this from happening. The only way to fix that, in my opinion, if I'm right, is to have a petition to have the plan altered itself to allow this type of movement. Am I in the right ballpark?
That was the same route that I was going with, and I was trying to find it right in this notice that we were just referencing the newsletter from Ed Slott. He specifically talks, and I will, at the next break, do we have another break?
Yes, one more.
At the next break, try to find what Ed wrote specifically about this. But without being able to talk to the plan custodian for him and get a clearer understanding, I have to go by what I think is happening here. He's working for the same employer. Even though he is now management, he's still working for that company. And you just can't move a 401k when you're working for that company.
Right.
Even if they have in-service distribution rules, even if they have those rules, they're very restrictive for people under the age of 59 and a half. Mm-hmm. He's only, what did he say, 42?
Right.
So
it's unlikely that he'd be able to do that anyway. But
they're incredibly restrictive, even if you had in-service distribution rules. When you have in-service distribution rules, you generally need a triggering event when you want to move your contributions and employer contributions. Now, that differs than after-tax elective contributions. We didn't get into those. That's not what he's talking here. Mm-hmm. Those can generally be moved a lot easier. But pre-tax contributions, employer matches, very restrictive on moving them. Mm-hmm. He only changed job titles. He didn't change employers. One thing he can do is reach out. This is what I would suggest. Reach out to whatever board oversees these retirement accounts for your employer. You may have to do a little bit of digging. He works for a very big company. If I named this company, we're talking, I mean, it's a huge company. In its respective industry, massive company. So it's going to be very hard to get through that bureaucracy. But if he can find a way to communicate with the retirement board people, they may be able to write into their plan descriptions an exemption specifically allowing. Because I feel for him. He's saying, this is dormant. I can't do anything with it. They should at the least allow him to move it from the rank and file to the management 401k. To have right. one 401k.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they made that promotion a triggering event for an in-service, a unique style of in-service
Not sure if they can do that. I don't know if that's...
some type of... Yeah, it's interesting. But they may not be able to move back and forth a little bit because of the reason why they have them separate in the first place. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they have them separate is falling under the rules of those highly compensated
That's
employees.
What I was going to get into in the next segment.
So
why are they doing this?
That's way beyond yeah. what we would normally talk about on this show. But there's bizarre rules for these retirement accounts that put restrictions and mandates on the employers when they have an imbalance between highly compensated employees and rank and file employees.
Exactly.
In the same
so by keeping
plan.
Them separate, it allows right. the highly ranking people yeah. to put more in.
Yeah.
That, without a doubt, is why they're doing that.
So that might be the reason why they can't move between the two. So with all that being said, the music means we're at our next break. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear the top song, well, one of the top songs from 1982 as we look back 35 years here on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. It is one of the top songs from this week in 1982. The number one song this week is Guess What? Jim. With a microphone that's off, so I need to turn it on before you talk. This is his first day on the radio, so.
It's on.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying attention. I felt like the student who's not paying attention, all of a sudden they hear their
name. Called upon, yes. So the number one song this week, again, Physical by Olivia Newton-John, but that's been going for like 24,000 weeks. So next week is the last week, so we'll probably play it next week. But this week, one of the top songs, as we don't listen to Olivia Newton-John every week, is Turn Your Love Around by George Benson. The song was written for George by Bill Champlin of Chicago and Steve Lukather of Toto. Wow, those are some heavy hitters. Anyway. This interesting fact here. This is the first hit to use a programmable drum machine instead of real drums. Not the first song, but the first hit that had that situation.
Interesting.
So that is interesting. You learn all kinds of things on the Retirement and IRA Show. So back to did we finish with our last email nice and cleanly there?
Did we have what's new on Help With My Social Security.
Yeah, but what about emails? Did we finish that? Let's make sure we have the loose ends tied up before we proceed.
All right.
You were going to
I was going to mention what Ed was mentioning. To get this gentleman to understand, he's 40, 2 years old. Just because you are no longer contributing to the management, excuse me, to the rank and file 401k, you are now contributing to the management 401k. Your employer has not changed. That is a triggering event to be able to move a 401k. That is, you no longer work for that employer. If you no longer work there, ERISA does protect your retirement account. You have to have right to access it. You have to have a right to move it. Now, even then, there can be difficulty in moving a former employer's 401k, especially in the case of bankruptcy and the employer closed down, because there's nobody there to sign the transfer paperwork. Literally, it's something as stupid as that. No one is there to sign the transfer paperwork, and the 401k is in limbo. There are cases of that. But in his particular case, there is no rule that I know of, but I'm not an ERISA attorney. But there's no rule that I know of, there's no rule that Chris knows of, that specifically is by ERISA that says, look, if you can't put money into this 401k anymore because you've received a promotion at your employer and you're now in a management 401k, you have a right to move it. There's nothing that I know of. And Ed writes about the difficulty in getting access to money. He puts in his newsletter, he writes, the plan distribution rules are extremely complicated, but for the most part, if a client is still working for the company sponsoring their 401k plan and they are under the age of 59 and a half, access to their pre-tax salary deferrals, Roth salary deferrals, and earnings is incredibly limited. And Chris, that's even in the case of in-service distributions.
Right.
That's what he was pointing out. Once a client leaves their job, which is what I just said, or turns 59 and a half, that may change. So a couple of things to help this listener. He could try to find out whoever the retirement board is for this very large employer and get some communication to them explaining his situation and asking, because Fidelity has confirmed to him it's a plan rule. Mm-hmm. Ask them to see if there's any way they can legally change the plan rule to allow someone moving from the rank and file to the management 401k to transfer that management 401k. I don't know if that's going to be allowed. I'm assuming there's even going to be two separate retirement boards, and the retirement board for the management may be very receptive to it, but the retirement board for the rank and file probably won't want you to move it, because as you move your assets, it drives up the cost of the plan. So they may not be very receptive to that. And you may not get anywhere with it. The other thing to do is find out if in-service distributions are allowed. And if they are allowed, when you get to a triggering age, which is usually 59 and a half, doesn't help him. He's only 42 now, so we're still looking at 17 mm-hmm. years. But if you're still with that employer, you will have a lot easier of a time moving the account at that point. I also want to point out to him, he calls it a dormant 401k. It's not technically dormant. He just can't put money in and right. take money out.
He can still control
but
what
you
it's
can control. Right.
In.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no risk there. There's no risk that the investments you're in are going under and Fidelity is saying you can't even make a change in your allocation. Whatever you have is what you can keep. You can't do anything. They're not limiting you on that. They're just saying no new money, and obviously no money can come out because you're still working for that employer. But you have a right to change the investments. You have a right to change your asset allocation. What you don't have a right to do is put money in right now or take money out because you're still working for that employer. And the third option is you can quit and then you can get access to that money, but now you don't have a job. So I really wouldn't recommend that one.
You get rehired.
Quit for five Maybe. Minutes and yeah. then get rehired.
Maybe.
Again, I'm being facetious on that one. But
Other than being a bookkeeping issue where he has to keep track of two accounts, he didn't indicate that there's some major problem with this. The only thing that I guess would be concerning is if there's a better selection of investments he has access to in his current 401k and this one he calls the dormant. Maybe it doesn't have the types of things he's looking to invest in. So I could totally understand his frustration if that were the case. He doesn't indicate that's
what's
going on.
He doesn't indicate that, but now he does. Well, he does call them... I hate being stuck in a plan, in a dormant plan with vanilla and expensive choices. So he either has expensive choices or just vanilla choices. I will tell him sometimes vanilla can turn out to be a lot better than some of this snazzy stuff. But it's his money. He knows best. Right. What he could do is if the retirement board for the rank and file 401k is not receptive to allowing it to be moved to the management 401k, and I'm not even sure the laws allow that. They'd have to research it. He may have better luck getting them to offer different investments. If he wanted a specific investment option, he can propose that to them. I volunteer on a local employer's retirement board. The employer has no way near the size this gentleman does. It has about 1,500 people. And we are asked every now and then by some employers, can you offer this? And can you offer that? And we'll take it under advisement. He can also ask for them to add a brokerage option, which he alludes to that they don't have, and he sounds to me like he wants it. Well, ask them. Just because they don't offer it doesn't mean they wouldn't. Ask them. Find out where the board is and send them a request. But I will warn him, less than 20% of all 401ks have a brokerage option. And for those who don't know what a brokerage option is, it's pretty much like an E-Trade account within your 401k. And I don't mean E-Trade specifically. I'm just giving you an example. You can buy a lot of different options. You can buy stocks. You can buy bonds. You can buy mutual funds, ETFs, all these things. You can buy these different investments in a brokerage option. You're not limited to just what the 401k gives you. But it's not a very common thing we see. It's about 20% of 401ks offer those. But he may have better luck, Chris, getting the investment options changed so they're not plain vanilla or expensive. In his opinion, they are. And he may be able to get that changed.
Yeah, and something else I'd point out is even though there's two separate accounts here, he should treat them as if it's one big account for deciding what goes into them. And that's where the plain vanilla might become a little more attractive. Anything, any part of his portfolio that he's going to dedicate to plain vanilla, do that in the old account where you have access to plain vanilla. If he wants something other than some other flavors, then he can maybe do that in his new account. You don't have to have your total portfolio allocation mixture duplicated in both accounts. You treat it and manage it as one large account. For you, it effectively becomes the same effect, you know, the same thing. But that might then allow him to see those plain vanilla options as fitting into his overall portfolio goals.
I like that. So his vanilla is in there, but he can have his chocolate, his strawberry, and his pistachio in the other
ones. So you don't have to try to put all the flavors in each account separately and duplicate them. You can look at it as one big bucket, even though it's split up on two statements, and manage it.
Wouldn't that be one big bowl of ice cream?
You can have a bucket of ice cream, can't you?
Maybe you want a bucket. I would go with a bowl. And we can go with Neapolitan.
Close. Neapolitan.
Neapolitan. Damn, I was right there. I was on the tip of my tongue. That's where you get the chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla in one.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know
not
my
a big
ice cream.
Fan. I don't like mine touching.
I was the same way.
When they're in the carton, the flavors kind of munge together. Yeah. I don't like that.
I never like that.
If I want to have them separate, I'll get a scoop out of a dedicated chocolate bucket and a scoop out of a dedicated vanilla bucket.
And put them in the
same
bowl.
Put them in the same bowl. There's no cross-contamination. When I take a bite of chocolate, it tastes totally like chocolate. That's me.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I'm not ridiculing the Neapolitan folks. It is convenient to have it all in one bucket.
How did they get the name Neapolitan?
Well, Neapole... decided he liked those three flavors the best and put them in one bucket.
In other words, you don't know.
No, I have no idea.
I have no clue either. Why do they call it that? It's chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla.
There's another question to be answered on the Retirement IRA show. So as you're describing the next email here in a moment.
No, we have to do what's new help with my Social Security. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, that's our blog on Social Security topics, we answer a listener's question on the earnings test. And it's a multi-part question. Just to give you a little taste, I'm going to this person asks, how does Social Security know how much you make every month? And how do they reduce your benefit or penalize you for earning more than the earnings limit if you're subject to the earnings test? And finally, if the earnings test is applied on a monthly basis, is someone who gets paid quarterly treated differently than someone who gets paid monthly? Are they only penalized in the months that they get paid? Well, I've got the answers to all those questions in this week's blog post on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
What's new, pussycat? I get the answer.
To Neapolitan?
I do.
Excellent.
Neapolitan ice cream was named in the late 19th century, that's 1800s for those who don't know, as a reflection of its presumed origins in the cuisine of the Italian city of Naples and the many Neapolitan immigrants who bought their experiences of frozen desserts with them to the United States.
So it probably started as gelato.
I don't know, but the gentleman who created it was named Spumoni, S-P-U-M-O-N-I.
Oh, so Spumoni is a different type of, it's kind of on the same vein as gelato.
Oh, Spumoni was introduced to the United States in the 1870s as a Neapolitan-style ice cream.
Yeah, interesting. Well, there you go. All the answers on the retirement.
And the common denominator is they resemble the Italian flag.
I was going to say, it's probably flag-related because of the colors.
Yep.
Interesting.
So anyways, that's a little bit too.
That's good.
So that was a very quick update. I thought you were going
to
take longer.
Well, I was excited to get back to the Neapolitan ice cream question. But, yeah. So anyway, don't you think Italy doesn't, you know, shouldn't pistachio be the third flavor?
That would be green.
Right, because that's the colors of the Italian flag. It's green, white, and red. It's not brownish chocolatey color, white and red.
Then yes, they should have used pistachio.
That pistachio should have been in there. And pistachio is, my guess, an Italian thing because there's a lot of pistachio gelato and spumoni. So yeah. So over here we twisted it because nobody here probably wanted nuts as a flavor of
I'm
ice
not
cream.
A fan of nuts in my ice cream.
I love pistachios. I love ice cream,
but like
they shall not touch in my world.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. Yeah. I don't care for that.
No.
Okay, well, hopefully this iTunian from Kentucky, I hope that answered his question a little. Yeah. But again, I would encourage him to approach the retirement board. There'll probably be two separate retirement boards, one for management, one for rank and file. I would get a hold of HR of your employer. Again, it's a very big employer he works for. Get a hold of HR. They should be able to get you in touch with the actual retirement board. There will be a group of fiduciaries whose job it is to manage that massive retirement account in the best interest of employees. You can give your proposal to allow you to move the two 401ks, move the non-management into the management one in your case. I don't know if you'll get much traction with that, but it doesn't hurt to try. But you should be able to get some traction, hopefully, or some feedback from them on what he described as either high cost or plain vanilla investments. If you want them to offer a brokerage option or different investments, that's where you go about doing it. And any listener, you can do this. You don't have to take sitting down what your employer gives you in the 401k. If you don't like it, if you think they're wrong, well, heck, you see the guy in Denver advertising on TV, lose money in your 401k, call me, the attorney there, Frank Aza. He's looking for people to represent because he's saying, hey, I'm going to sue your 401k for you. 401ks are being sued all the time now. This is the first time I ever saw TV commercials from some trial attorney here in Denver looking for people so he can go sue 401ks. Because, of course, it's never your fault. It's always someone else's fault. But 401ks are being held responsible, especially for high-fee investments. So if he truly feels his investments are high-fee, bring it up to the retirement board and tell them, hey, I think these fees are high. Here's why. They are X, Y, and Z in cost. And if you can show that same fund or same investment option with a lower fee, tell them, hey, according to Morningstar or whatever company you're using for your research, there's two or three more share classes for lower ones. Why don't we have access to those? You can push them to get their fees lowered. You can push them to add more investments. You can push them to add a brokerage option. He may have more luck, Chris, doing that than trying to get them to allow him to move his money.
True.
But the whole reason he can't move it, he is still working for the same employer. He's not working for a different company. He's just working at a different pot, or at least in a different management structure of the same employer.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're on Kentucky, you might have to learn to like Kentucky bourbon, because there's... You're going right to the heartland there.
Yeah, a lot of drinking.
You don't like bourbon, though, do you?
I know, but what I've been drinking a lot of lately, but it probably doesn't come from Kentucky, is Irish cream whiskey in my coffee at night as my dessert.
It's good, isn't it, with coffee? That's my favorite. That's the only way I can drink coffee, actually.
But I bought a bottle of something called Kringle Cream because I thought it was Christmassy, Kringle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with Christmas. When I got home, I read the bottle closer.
Yeah.
And it's from Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And they have Kringles in Wisconsin. And a Kringle is a type of donut. And this is a...
Donut flavored.
No, it's liqueur? Not really donut. They call it nutty, sweet, and creamy or something like that.
Sounds good in coffee.
It's really good in coffee. It's with rum is its base liquor, not a whiskey. And it's not bad. It's called Kringle Cream. And
they have that here?
Yeah, I bought it at the liquor store right near the Safeway down the road there.
Interesting. Never seen that.
Now, I didn't see it either, but it's near where the Irish cream is. Hmm. It was called Kringle Cream.
Hmm.
And it's from Wisconsin. And it tastes really good in coffee. But it's again, named after some type of donut in this section of Wisconsin called Kringles. And this is more of a cream to taste like
They have some
Kringles.
Glorious pastries in Wisconsin, I will say that.
Well, this is for anybody who wants to
There's
see
all
it.
Kinds of things there.
Okay. Well, I would say I would bring some in for you, but my said bottle is almost empty.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
I'll have to go get some more.
I can find my own Kringle Cream.
You may not.
Why?
Well, I only saw it at that liquor store.
You said it wasn't for the holidays.
No, it may not be here. I thought it was for the holidays because of the name Kringle Cream. But it was Kringle with a K. But
how do you think Kringle is spelled? That's how Kringle's spelled.
Oh, is it?
For Santa, yeah. Chris right. Kringle is with a K.
Well, it's Kringle Cream. But it's not at the liquor stores down in Longmont that I have looked at. I've only seen it there.
There's most. Okay.
Okay. Anyways, that's my little toss out there for Kringle Cream and coffee.
That's a weird topic for the show. I will say we talk about a lot of weird stuff. Kringle Cream. I think that takes it to a new level right there.
You know, some listener is going to go out and try to find some Kringle Cream.
I hope they do, and I hope they call in and let us know because we have our Duluthian. Oh, that's Minnesota.
That's
though.
Minnesota.
That's close to Wisconsin, though. We have others.
Do
in
we
Wisconsin.
Have a star in
we
Wisconsin?
We do have a star in Wisconsin.
So we have a Wisconsin listener. Mm-hmm. Tell us, do you like Kringle Cream?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do we have another email we can do in 3 minutes?
Negative. Not in 3 minutes. So. What we want to do is thank our listeners for another exciting episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. We hopefully we'll have some changes this year that we're going to be excited about that we're going to see coming. As everyone knows, Pete will be retiring. So he has pushed it out to April. I know after April he will still come on and do the show. But we also hope to have his protege, I guess we can call it, or his mentee. Pete is mentoring a younger attorney named Brandon Raines, and Brandon has graciously agreed to become Pete Pot Deuce. So he will come on when Pete can't make it and add his input to estate planning. And Pete will always be available for the more involved cases, such as the listener from Texas, Lone Star George, who we answered his question last week. And Lone Star, if you're listening, we will get to the financial planning aspect of your question on a future show, either next week or the week after. I have a few more emails I have to get through. So we have that change coming on. We also will be featuring Justin from our own office, Chris, a little bit more.
We are.
Well, yeah, because Justin is, he passed his first exam of his enrolled agent exam.
He passed?
Yeah. You didn't
Excellent.
Know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We should have some sort of celebration, maybe?
I said congratulations.
I don't know. Did buy him a cake?
you're on this. You want some Kringle Cream? Kringle Cream for the
Kringle
cake?
Kringle Cream has their own Twitter account, even.
Kringle Cream has a website?
Well, I haven't found the website, but they have a Twitter account.
What are they tweeting about Kringle Cream?
About how luscious and glorious it is.
It's a good mixed in with coffee. I'll have to give it two thumbs up.
Good.
So, well, that's it. But Justin will be coming on the show more. An enrolled agent, for those who don't know, is really a tax preparer who's been tested and approved by the IRS to represent taxpayers and complete tax returns. And Justin is really, really getting into this whole tax issue, stuff that bores Chris and I. So we intend to get him on the show more to talk a lot about the tax nuances, especially for retiree tax planning. That's why we're doing all this. So we hope to have a lot of information coming to you again on another year of the Retirement and IRA Show.
Speaking of taxes, in our final waning moments here, remind everyone that one of the biggest expenses for a typical person that has traditional retirement accounts in retirement are the taxes. So that's why we're focusing on it so much, is if you can help control your tax bill, you can make a positive difference in your retirement lifestyle.
Well, we'll talk about this on another show, because what we get our clients to understand is that there's three types of accounts you're going to withdraw money from in retirement. Accounts that will always be taxable, maybe be taxable, and never be taxable. Most people have their money in the first one, in accounts that will always be taxable. We show them how to get it into the other two.
Excellent. So we'll be back next week with the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.